Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
We give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Don't know where to start, but I will start. How many of you were here last week? Where did we left off? We started on faith. Graham was telling me, I thought you were teaching on faith and you went to prayer. I said, no, I was heading towards prayer. You know, because you can't have faith and not pray. When you have faith, you enforce it to see the reality of your faith. James will say, show me your faith and I'll show you without action. Show me faith without action is dead. Anybody that professes to have faith without action and the fruit of that faith is dead. We carry the faith of Jesus, and the faith of Jesus is a fruitful faith. We see it, we command it, and it come to pass. You don't have a small faith, I repeat again as I did last week, but you have the faith of God. And the faith of God is already grown in you. You can't grow that faith. That faith is already expanded in you. You must be able to put it to work and see the fruit of it. Last week, I was told, I made a comment, I said, disgrace. I was not saying this grace, I was saying this grace. I'm coming from heaven. I have the accent of heaven. One day I was preaching somewhere and one lady said, I can't understand. I said, go get a translator. Go get an English translator to translate my English, because my English is the perfect English. So it's not this grace, it's his grace. Amen. See, the Lord said to me to tell somebody here that you have, it's a reminder that you have all that it takes to make it in this life. You have all. God is not going to do anything again. God is expecting you to do it. If I give you Manyville, which I will do soon, which one is difficult? Which one is hard? To use the money or to earn the money or to work for the money? Okay, let me come again. Which one is difficult? To earn the money or work for the money or to use the money? Earn the money. To work for the money. Yeah. Is it difficult?
Yeah.
Great. Oh, some of you don't agree. Do you all agree? Good. So Christ has given us everything. We can work for salvation. He has already done everything for us. It is up to us to use the money. It is up to us to use what he has given to us. And that is where prayer comes in. That is where the labor of prayer comes in. I said last week that your laboring is not because you can handle it. Your labor is in vain if Christ has not already labored. Because he has labored and he has died on the cross, my labor brings to pass.
Amen.
Jump to Galatians. Let's forget about it. He has already preached a part of my message, so we jump. Okay. So we are not of those that shrink back. In Hebrews chapter 10, 35 to 39, it talks about it. Let me hit it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We read this last week. I'm just going to do a rush, and then I will tackle where we left off. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Kobe is crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. The life I live now It's the faith of Christ at work. We don't have a separate faith when we come to church and a separate faith when you go to your workplace. Your work colleagues are waiting for you to display your faith. If you don't display your faith in your workplace, darkness will still be there. I told somebody, I said, enough of your tongues. If you're speaking in tongues or you're praising cannot affect where you work, forget about it. Because God is expecting us to be effective wherever He has placed us. If you are not effective in your marriage, effective at your workplace, effective wherever you are, and you think when you come to church, you can dance and shout, and it all end up here, we've disappointed redemption. I'm just repeating myself from Sunday last week. So he said, I have given them everything. It is up to you to enforce that which has been given to you to be a blessing to the people which are around you. So it is Christ living in me, not me living. I am dead. Christ is living. So anything I am doing, if it is not pointing to Christ, if people are not seeing it and they are not pointing to Christ, you must check, you must ask yourself, where are you, God? Because it's time for my flesh to give way, for my divinity to take over. Are you not... I worked as an architect. I that was my profession before I left it. But I was so tired with church, and I asked God, I want to see you at work in my profession. So one day, I didn't go for lectures. I don't know if I've shared this before, but it's okay to share it again. So I didn't go for lectures. And when I went back the following day, they said, the professor has given an assignment for us to do. And they said, don't bother, because even us, we don't even understand what he was saying. I said, give me the assignment. I pick it up. I went home. I sat down. At that time, we're using drawing board, you know. Not the AutoCAD, not the thing. The computer was there, but we're still using the board where manually you have to draw buildings. Do you get a picture? So I sat at my board and I said, Holy Spirit of God, if it is true, what I read about you in the scriptures, teach me this. I said, teach me this. Because if you can't teach me this, why do I go to church and shout and sing and pray in the spirit without me seeing you at work? Because if I do that, then this book is a religious historical book without no life in it. But I want to see life in it through me. So suddenly, I got an idea. I did the building, whatever, the design. I took it back to the school. It was one of the best. They said, how did you do that? And that was an easiest way for me to evangelize to the people. Yes. If you want me to teach you, you need Jesus. And I got it. Let me just some practicals. Was it Friday? Rob came to me and said, I don't know if he knew that it's a divine thing, but I knew. I sensed it. Rob was doing electrical stuff here. Okay, it didn't come on again. He put it off to finish the work. He finished everything. It didn't come on. He put it on. Nothing was coming. So I was here. We were preparing for today's service. And he came to him and said, Kobe, nothing is happening. We need divine intervention. I said, okay. I went down there. I touched the switch. I said, in the name of Jesus, you are working. I told him, okay, open this up. I didn't know what I was saying. I'm not an electrician. Phil came and said, hey, what is this black guy doing here with it? Be careful, you are not in Ghana, you know. And I understand him. In Ghana, if you know how we do electric, sorry, Facebook Live, but if you know what we do about electricals, my goodness, it's not every part, amen. So I touched that thing. I said, Rob, open this, open that. He did that. And as soon as he opened it, he was just taking, and some other things fell off. He said, oh, I shouldn't have done this, Kobe. I said, you go ahead. Then we held it. And then he moved something. Yeah, Rob is here. He's my witness. He pulled something, put it back, and the light came on. Somebody will be saying, oh, this is, ask him. It was not working. What I'm saying is that, church, it is time for you to see God at work in every single part of your life. Yes. It is. It is. You are not in your workplace for you to be sweating, using your human wisdom to do things alone. No. You are in your workplace for you to bring distinction by reason of the Holy Ghost at work through you. That is why we can be effective in the communities. Don't be guilty if things are not happening, but God is telling me it is in you. You be conscious of it. Be conscious of it. And it will fall in place. And I'm going to share with you one of the ways where we can enforce this, okay? But through prayer. Let's go to Epaphras. Colossians chapter 4 verse 12. We read it last week. Epaphras, who is one of you? Colossians 4:12. Am I pronouncing it well? When you are quiet, I'm thinking, oh, I'm saying this grace again. No, I'm not. Epaphras, who is one of you, servant of Christ, salute to you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He is laboring fervently. The word labor there, I explain, it is struggle, it is toil, that you feel it. He was fervently laboring in prayer. Oh God, if this is what you have said, I am seeing it come to pass. If it's not coming to pass, I'm not leaving. Jacob said, either you bless me or I'm not letting you go. In the place of prayer, there is power with man and power with God. That is why you can come out of your prayer closet and know that you are in charge. Jesus always visited the mountain. And when he come back to the people, he is able to feed them. He is able to do the stuff. He was not just doing the stuff because he was a son of God. No. He had an encounter with the Father on the mountain. Fervent prayer. Listen, church, if we can affect our community here, there is a need for us for fervent prayer. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying your prayer is what is going to move God. No, the prayer is going to move that which is in you out. Yeah. Your prayer is not moving God. If they say prayer move God, it's a lie. God had already been moved by compassion and love and sent Jesus to us. He's been already been moved. My prayer don't move him. My prayer move me and the ability in me out. Huh? So, Epaphras, fervently, so that there'll be a completion, not a completion, but there'll be that completed thing, what does he say? That they'll be complete in all the will of the Father. In all the will of the Father. It is up time for us to step up in our prayer life, church. It is. It is. And it comes by conscious effort. Denying yourself with some stuff. Deny yourself from some pleasures. We need to. Other than that, we come to church and sit nice. And we won't see God through us.
Listen, people. I repeat again. It is not your prayer going to move God. Because people will say, we have to pray. We need a revival. God, no. The revival is in you. It is in you. You have to bring it out. One of the ways of bringing it out is fervent prayer. Laboring in prayer. Have you been to the labor ward before? Oh, no. Don't go there. Gerard was saying, don't go there. Come. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 8 to 19. This charge I commit unto you, unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before you. So God have spoken to Timothy. The fact that God have said something does not mean it will just happen. The fact that it is written in the book by a prophet prophesying on you does not mean it will just happen. But listen to what it says. According to the prophecies which went before on you, that you by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Let's look at some words here. The word wage or war is the Greek word. I'm not a Greek person, but I'll try. Stratiomai, whatever. But it means, the explanation is what is important, not the words. I don't want to bite my tongue because of that. I was born a Ghanaian, a handsome Ghanaian, and I love it. Oh, thank you for clap, Jane. Bless you. Take you for lunch after service. We will social distance anyway. On that side, I saw a picture on Facebook. There were two cars, okay, because of social distancing, okay? Two cars. They were having lunch, breakfast together, and they've made a table across their window thing. And they were able to talk social distance. I said, my goodness, this is wisdom. Amen. So the word wage is a military term. When Paul says, by reason of the prophecies which is gone over you, you wage a good warfare. It means to make a military mission, to lead soldiers to war or battle, to do military duty, be active in service, be a soldier, fight to serve as a soldier. So believer in Christ, God has said something concerning you. But he said to Timothy, you must be able to take that word and enforce it to come to pass. And one of the ways is to labor in prayer. I'm not praying, Lord, do this. I am praying, Lord, whatever you have said, I am seeing it come to pass. And then I labor in prayer. Paul said, you labor, wage war, because you are not alone. The devil is against you. The devil is not against your fame, your money. He's against your faith. He's not against your faith. He's not against even your health. He's against your faith. Jesus said the devil wanted to shift you like wheat, but I have prayed that your faith will not fail. Didn't say that your faith, not your gift. No, that your faith will not fail. So we wrestle not again. I'm not here to exalt the devil. He is like an ant. We step on him. But if we don't take our place, that ant can mess up. The word shipwreck is to be stranded or suffer in verse 19. You remember in Matthew when Jesus was walking on the water. And then he told Peter, said, if it is you, bid me come. And then Jesus said, come. And then as Peter was going on the water, what happened? He saw a distraction. And what? He nearly sank. The meaning of shipwreck here, I'll read to you from the dictionary, says, a destruction of a ship at sea by sinking. When we shift our attention from the word of God, we begin to sink and we make shipwreck of our faith, as Peter wanted to do to himself. So I'm on the word labor. I will go to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10 to 9 to 10. And then one more scripture. And then we'll close. Are we okay? For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. 10. But by the grace of God, the word grace, charis, is divine influence. So, but by divine influence of God, I am what I am. And his grace, not this grace, yeah, his grace. And his grace toward me was not in vain. Whoops. But I labored. You see, the word labor from Epaphras is borrowed from Paul, because Paul was the one teaching Epaphras. So he got the same labor from Paul, because Paul was discipling them. And it's not the same Greek word labor there as it was in Colossians, but it carries the same weight, the same meaning. Agony, toil. That's the same thing. But I labor. I labored more abundantly than they all. Why? So that the grace that was at work in him will not be in vain. Yeah. Let me read again. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. How? But I labored. For the grace of God available in you, the divine influence available in you to be expressed, there is a need for labor there. He says, I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I. I like that. Because I've met some people that think they can pray long and they think it's their strength. No. It's the grace of God available to you. It's not my long prayers. It's not my short prayers. It's my right praying. It's not my long prayers. It's not my short prayers. It's my right praying. So I believe in long prayers. I believe in short prayers. But you see, I give people, they say, why do you pray long? I say, listen, if you are with your husband or your wife, and you stay long and long and longer and longer with your spouse, what happens? You know them more. What happens? Talk to me. It's not a trick question. You become what? Like them. The intimacy grows strong. So why? Then I will rather go further with the Father in prayer and pray long than pray short. I'm not against short prayers. I'm not against long prayers. But I am for the what happens between them. Yeah. Am I making sense? Yeah. If I can spend time with my wife and I'll know her better, longer. Or I spend time with Graham and I'll know you better. If I spend time with my God, he will show me some stuff in these difficult times. Yeah. Yeah. He will show me some stuff. I will come out and I'll be smarter than you. Yes. That is why Paul was smarter than all the apostles. God was not partial. No. God is not partial. But God is not a respecter of persons. Paul gave himself up. He gave himself literally. And Peter said, even some of the things Paul is teaching, we can't even understand. He was not just blessed with it. No, he labored. He labored. Imagine we are going to do exams and I am spending time learning and you are not learning and you think God will just bless you with it. It doesn't happen. I'm the one going to what? Pass, because I'm giving time to my studies. We are all Christians. We have the same faith. But if I put my faith to work more, I get more results than you. It doesn't mean that I have more faith than you do. No, it's because I am putting my faith to work more and I get more results. And I begin to know him better, how he works, because I'm putting to work the faith he has given to me. Amen. Let's go to the last scripture. Romans chapter 15, verse 29 to 31. And then I'll see if I can shut down. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I like Paul. He knows that I'm coming with fullness. It's not, people will say this is pride. He knows that when I come to you, I am coming with the fullness of God, no doubt. If I say this, that I came here with the fullness of God, no doubt. Some people say, hey, who are you? Look at his black face, who are you? Yeah, I'm just joking, not you, sorry. But Paul said, I have come with the fullness of God. If you meet me, you've met God. That's what he's saying. Verse 30. Now I beg you, oh my goodness, this is vulnerability there. This is the person who says, I came with the fullness of God. But see, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive. That is another word. That you strive. It carries the same weight with labor in all the verses we've read. That you strive together with me in prayers. This is the guy who have been into the third heavens. This is the guy who have seen the up and down of how God works. But he's saying, you strive with me in prayers to God. You strive with me. You toil with me. You struggle with me. You endure with me in prayers. I just wanted to sing to you. I am so tired of seeing me. People see me and they see me. You know what I mean? I'll explain further. I want people to see me and the things I do, the results I get, they point to God. And they say, this is God. That is what you stand for. That is what we stand for. That people will see you. See what you are doing, and they will see an element of God in this. Yes, church. But it will come to pass in your own closet. We talk about Paul. He is dead and gone, but we're still talking about him. Why? Because of his fervency in his closet with the Father. We can rush and do things. But you see, we don't have an appointment with the Father in prayers. It is time for us to repent. I mean, turn, shift attention in your prayer life. Let's look at Jesus. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 46. Look at Jesus, our perfect example. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. We will explain the word watch as we go. And watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his knees, on his face, and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done. Then he came back to his disciples and found them sleeping. He has told them, watch with me. He came back and they were sleeping. You see, the result of sleeping, we will see, is working in the flesh. I am not saying don't sleep. No. Sleep is good. But if my sleeping goes longer than my prayer life, there is a question I need to ask myself. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me an hour? Watch with me. What was Jesus doing? What was Jesus doing? Praying. So I can say the watch is what? Could you not watch with me? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And it came to pass, and he came and found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy. We read this and say, that was the disciples. But it can be us too. Watch and pray. Watch, that is pray. Listen to what Peter did. So he left them, went away again and prayed a third time. Jesus is a praying person. If we have the faith of Jesus, and the faith of Jesus, I tell you, was a praying faith. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Jesus has already catered for everything. Let's look at Peter. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is here. Is that all? That's it? No, I'll have to continue. Sorry. I want to touch the place where Peter, when he saw the people coming to betray Jesus, he cut the ear of the one of the guys. Jesus said, hey, you've missed it. The time to do this was watch with me. Now you are performing in the flesh. So Jesus wanted to watch wanted them to watch with him so they don't misbehave. So Peter was just misbehaving. He thinks he can just do it with his own mind. Zechariah 4 says, it is not by might, it's not by power, it is by my spirit. So if we don't spend time in prayer, we will act from our own flesh. Peter was acting in his own flesh. Why he got the knife, I don't know. I'm still asking. Maybe Jesus allowed them. I don't know. Maybe he sneaked them in his pocket for protection's sake, you know. But church, we have been called to this fervency in prayer. I repeat again, don't feel guilty that you are not there yet. But make up your mind, as far as your life is concerned, to see more of him at work in you and through you. And this is one of the ways. Fervent in prayer. Fervent in prayer. Epaphras was laboring in prayer. We need to reach these people. Oh, I was praying today and the Lord said to me, I've given you a voice over this city. Ay, ay, ay. Liberty, we have a voice over this city and over this region. Amen. If we sit down with the voice we have in this place, we've disappointed him. We have a voice in this place. And they must hear our voice. And that voice is not necessarily standing in the street to shout. That voice can be activated and felt on your knees in your own closet. If you can, let's jump on our feet and close. Dylan, you want to touch the guitar, please? The grace to pray, the grace to for effective fervent prayer is in you. God is not going to release it on you. No. You just have to activate it. You just have to yield to it. And we will see things happening. We will see things happening. Jesus, our perfect example, he says, most of the time, oftentimes, he will isolate himself to a quiet place in prayer. And anytime he comes down from prayer, things happen. I don't know what is happening in your marriage. I don't know what is happening in your family. I don't know what is happening in your community, at your workplace. Believe God that they begin to see him at work through you. You yield yourself to divinity. You yield yourself to the divine influence, the grace that has been given to you. We can't sit on it. We can't make this grace in vain. We can't. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You want to pray for yourself specifically. Don't feel condemned. Feel excited because everything that can make this happen is in you. In the name of Jesus. You, for 1 minute, just pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Father, we give you praise. We glorify your name, Jesus.